Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, this morning we're going to go ahead and start with a passage of scripture found in John. We're going to take a look at John 10:10 from a few different translations. We see, first of all, that there is a difference between Jesus and the devil. You're going to find that out right away here. Jesus is very clear to make a distinction there. They are not one and the same. They are not working together. They're not on the same team. In fact, they have two completely different agendas, two completely different purposes. The New King James says, the thief, this is Jesus speaking, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, the thief comes only in order to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. New Living says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give life in all its fullness. So we see, you know, we know that Jesus so loved, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, that he died on the cross. He loves us. He's for us. But Jesus also, as he's down here in this earth, is very quick to point out that he is not the only entity that we have to deal with. There is another entity. There is a thief. Peter says, your adversary, the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion. All right? So the scripture tells us it's not all Jesus. It's not all peace and love. We can see that we live in a world that is far from all peace and love. But there is another entity. There is something at work. There is a force, a thief, that is actively present in the earth trying to steal and kill and destroy. And one of the things that the enemy wants to get a hold of in your life, and a lot of times we think steal, kill, and destroy, you think, oh, your health or your finances or your relationships and things like that. And certainly that's, you know, that's what any thief wants to do. They want to get stuff that you have. But in this day and age, we've learned about a different kind of thief. And we've come across a different kind of thief, especially in our technology digital age. We've found out that there is a kind of thief who, if they can steal one thing from you, they can steal it all. And it's what we would call identity theft. A thief that can steal your identity. Sure, a thief would like to, you know, get the $100 in your wallet or your purse. But if this thief can get your identity, if they can get your name and your birthday and your address and your social security number, they can just get into your whole bank account. Don't even have to mess with that. And it's even more covert in that sense too. There's a hideous kind of stealing, killing that has to do with your identity. Sure, they might want to steal your car, but again, if they can get your identity, they might be able to masquerade, imitate you, and get a new car. Here's kind of a technical definition. Identity theft is a form of stealing someone's identity in which someone else pretends to be someone else by assuming that person's identity, typically in order to access resources or obtain credit or other benefits in the person's name. The victim of identity theft here, meaning the person whose identity has been assumed by that identity thief, can suffer adverse consequences if they are held accountable for the perpetrator's actions. Identity theft occurs when someone uses another person's personally identifying information, like their name, identifying number, without their permission to commit fraud or other crimes. And so in this day and age, it's rampant. You know, if you're, you know, we've had a situation too where I've looked online, maybe you have too, and all of a sudden you see some charges that aren't you. Like, what is this? You call in, and sure enough, when you used your card at one of the retailers for Christmas, somehow they got your access to your name, and voila, they're off and running. And it really feels like a violation if you've ever experienced that. I've experienced that. It's like, oh, this is what? You know, how could somebody be so cruel? How could somebody be so mean? You know, but that's what a thief will do. They'll steal your identity, so once they have your identity, they can begin to use what you have and your resources in the earth. You know, a few weeks ago we talked about, the title of the message was called A Love Mystery. You know, just the mystery of God's love for us. What is man that you're mindful of him? And we visited the importance of your existence on the earth. The reason why you are so valuable on this earth is because you have one of these bodies. And this body gives you authority in the earth. You have authority to touch other human beings' lives with the love of God. You know, and we said that the psalmist is going, what is man that you're so mindful of him? Well, man is what God came in the image of. Jesus became a man. He dwelt among us. We're made in his image. And we also kind of ask the question, what is man that the devil is so mindful of him? Why does the devil attack? What's the big deal with us? We're made in his likeness, we're made in his image, and we have authority in the earth. This body gives us, and it's just limited time only. The Bible calls it a vapor. Your open door of influence on this earth to impact and change, it's just a breath. That's why it's so precious and so valuable. It's why the enemy works overtime with depression and trying to make you feel like you're nothing. You're nothing. You're really nothing. You're really amazing. You're really special, valuable. But the reason why you are is because you've got the body. You've got access into the earth right now. You can do stuff. You can interact. Once Ed House's spirit leaves his body, if the Lord tarries and I go home, I won't have direct influence in the earth anymore. It'll be done. My time will be done. But right now, my time is here. And the things I do down here have eternal impact later on. So every moment in this body down here, it's limited time, it's special, it's precious. So, kind of to that point, why is identity theft such a huge thing for the enemy? Well, if he can get your identity and he can start masquerading down here as you, then he can get authority in the earth through you, through your identity. Now again, we think of identity, we think of kind of natural things, again, your birthday, your address, your social security number, stuff like that. But we're going to look again this morning at the way the enemy tries to steal your identity. Not those natural identifications, but your God-given spiritual identification. So the title of the message this morning is Protecting Your God-Given Identity. God has given you an identity in the earth, and through that identity, you have authority in the earth to do what God has called you to do. What does Satan want more than just that money or that relationship? He wants your identity. He wants to get in your head and tell you who you really are and make you wilt and inhibit your impact for God in the earth. When you protect your spiritual identity, you retain who you are on the inside. And from that identity flows out a life that is full of the plans and the purposes of God. So, protecting your God-given identity. The first thing you got to protect is you got to protecting your birthday. All right? You know, a natural thief, you know, we're not talking about like a natural thief wants your natural birthday for identification purposes. But there's a spiritual thief, Satan, who comes to try to steal your spiritual birthday. Why does he want your spiritual birthday? First of all, let's take a look at something very powerful and important that we have to hold on to, believe, and keep precious in our hearts as believers. Number one, this is what Jesus said. He said, Jesus answering, this is Nicodemus, his exchange. He said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, we know one thing. Nicodemus had to be born again. I have to be born again. You have to be born again. What's the point? The point is, it's one thing to be born naturally of the water. It's one thing to be born naturally of flesh. But when you're born the second time, you're born of the Spirit. Now, we've got all kinds of great scriptures that give us further detail on that. Let's just take a look at a few of them. John 1, he says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When I believed on Jesus, I was born of God. Peter puts it this way, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Amplified, you have been regenerated, born again, not from a mortal origin, seed, sperm, but from one that is immortal by the ever-living and everlasting word of God. The message, your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm. Your new birth comes from God's living word. Just think, a life conceived by God himself. You're born again. You are born again. You know, we can lose sight of that. The world doesn't see you as born again. The world sees you as your religion, your Christian religion. That's what you believe, that's what you think. But the word says, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. Born of God. Something happened on the inside of you when you got born again. Now, Paul kind of goes a little bit closer, and he kind of puts it under the microscope, this new birth. He puts it this way. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. You know, when I was, I was raised Lutheran, and praise God, thank God for the foundation of grace that I got from the Lutheran Church. But there's a lot of spiritual truths that I really kind of came into later as I kind of began to feel led to move out amongst some of the non-denominational type circles. And one of the truths that I got was what you might call the in him truths, who you are in Christ, the spiritual realities of what God did on the inside of you. And that was really foreign to me. You know, you kind of look at this stuff and go, wow, yeah, that's cool. So I'm new. The old has passed away. All has become new. All right. Yeah, cool. But what does that really mean? And a lot of times when I would, I kind of read that and think, wow, that's really interesting. But when I would kind of come into some other circles, some other areas, a lot of times they'd get really excited about these scriptures. They'd be really excited. They'd turn to like a 2 Corinthians 15 and they'd ask a question. They said, did you bring your shouting clothes this morning? Did you wear your shouting clothes? Remember the first time I heard that, I thought. In all my years at the Lutheran Church, nobody ever asked me if I brought my shouting clothes. What are shouting clothes? I thought, well, I'm about to find out. And all of a sudden they'd say something. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And we go, yay, woohoo! I go, wow, okay, that must be the shouting club. I mean, I'd kind of look at it and go, wow, these people are acting this, looking like it's really true. Because for me, I look at it and go, oh, that just makes me feel good, But it's not the emotional inspiration of Scripture that makes you free. It's the truth of the Scripture that makes you free. And when you believe that's true, something changes about you. Something changes about you. You begin to know who you are on the inside. And it's not just, oh, that's a cool feel-good. Wow, I'm a new creation. The old has passed away. All has become new. That's a spiritual reality. I'm not probing my mind, my feelings, to conjure up something. It's a spiritual reality. Where this took place was in your pneuma. That's your spirit being, your psuche, your mind, your will, and emotions. They are flighty. They're up and down. You understand? In terms of feeling like a new creation, there are times I feel like a new creation. There's times I feel like my old sinful self that passed away. I can feel both of those things up here in my feelings. But the spiritual reality is I'm brand new. I am a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. We'll take a look at that scripture in the Amplified. It goes on, it says, consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, not even though we once did estimate Christ from a human point of view as a man. Yet now we have such knowledge of him that we no longer know him in terms of the flesh. Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he's a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. But all things are from God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, and brought us into harmony with himself. And so we see here again, you're a new creation. Your old previous moral condition passed away. Paul put it this way in talking to the Ephesians. He said, you once were by nature a child of wrath. That's a person who's unborn again, unregenerate. You were by nature a child of wrath. You are no longer by nature a child of wrath. You are by nature and the inward man a new creation. All right? Now here's where the identity theft comes in terms of who you are. The enemy trying to steal your identity. It comes really right here in verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one, that includes you, according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. There's one thing about your flesh you realize. Your flesh didn't get born again, did it? No. We've kind of been over this ground before in Romans chapter 7. You still have a law of sin and death in your members. It still wars against the law of your mind, and it still tries to bring into captivity to the flesh. All right? So when we say you're by nature a child of God, we're not talking that the nature in the flesh went away. It's still there. But your nature in your very inner being, your spirit, you are a child of God. Again, that's not emotional, that makes me feel good. No, it's really true. To as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become born of God, born of the Word. Born. You were born into this. Jesus said that which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And then John goes on to say that we're born of God. Peter begins to say we're born of the Word of God. James, same thing, we're born of the Word of God. You were born again. You know, if you could see into the spirit realm, think of slow motion instant replay. If you could see into the spirit realm the moment you surrendered your life to Christ and said, Jesus, I believe upon you. Today is my day. I'm calling upon your name. I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead and you are my Lord from this day forward. If you could see into the spirit realm, these natural eyes see natural stuff, but if you could see into the spirit realm, you would see somebody who was by nature a child of wrath getting born again. You would see the old passing away. You would see all becoming new. That twinkle in a person's eye, that peace that's on their face, it's bigger and deeper than an expression. It goes way down into the spirit of man that got born again. Something really happened on the inside of you. These are spiritual reality, spiritual truths. Again, for me, this is kind of foreign stuff. Never really took time to really stop and think about it that much. I always just kind of took an inventory of how I felt at the time. But when you begin to grow spiritually, you begin to go past how you feel at the time, and you begin to realize who you are in the spirit, what God has done on the inside of you. So when you're wearing the shouting clothes, as it were, you're really seeing past how you feel, the conditions of the world around you. You're seeing into the scripture itself, and you're saying, what has God done in me? He's made me born again. Now what happens though? He says we regard no one according to the flesh. Your flesh still fights against you. So you're still going to have a pull in your body, right? When you got born again, you didn't become exempt from sin. Your flesh, your body still had the same natural tendencies that it always had. And so here's where the identity theft comes in. The enemy, you know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews, let us lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. When I talk about the flesh, when I talk about sins, you could look at Galatians 5. There's a whole laundry list of what the works of the flesh look like. Adultery, fornication, hatred, violence, wrath, murder, you know, revelries, different things like that. That's the whole kind of the laundry list of what the flesh looks like. We've all yielded to the flesh. Even as believers, we've all yielded to the flesh at times. And especially the ones that so easily beset you. You know the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. And here's where the identity theft will come in, is those areas in your life where you're struggling with maybe, areas where, you're missing it, the enemy will get in your head and say, that's you. That's you. You're born again, new creation. Huh, no way. And I love to relate my experience. I remember I was meditating in this truth for probably 6 months. Got a hold of some tapes and began to think, wow, I'm a new creation in Christ. Wow, that's amazing. That's really cool. That's amazing. I'm really brand new, truly on the inside. And it was just kind of a day. I'm just kind of walking down, and I'm just kind of feeling beat up and depressed, caved into a weight and sin that so easily beset me that day. And just thinking in my mind as I'm just walking down this hallway, I can still see it thinking, you know, that's just me. That's just me. You ever been so frustrated with yourself and you go, that's just me. It's who I am. And all of a sudden, when I said that, I heard, I don't hear with an audible voice, but I had an impression the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. What does that mean? I didn't hear anything. I didn't see anything. There were thoughts that resonated in my mind that I didn't think up. They were thoughts that interrupted my thoughts. And it was clear. And that law, and those thoughts simply said, that's not you. And then all of a sudden, in like a moment of an eye, I could see, it was almost like a flash, like a mini vision flash. And all of a sudden, I could see in my mind's eye just the picture of me on the inside. It was glorious. It was glory. I could see the new creation. It was light. It was pure. It was clean. And I'm going to go, wow. And then the Lord spoke another profound word to me. He said, that's not the real you. Then I saw that picture, and he said, that thing came at you from the outside. I'll tell you what, something got settled in my heart that day. There are weights and sins that easily beset us, yes. Do we still have the flesh to deal with? Yes. But you need to understand something. The flesh, that identity of the flesh, and the identity of those things, they are coming at you from the outside. They always start as a knock on the door in your mind. And you got to decide. You know, Jesus isn't the only one who stands at the door knocking. There's an adversary who also stands at the door knocking. And if you open up and you invite him in, he will also sup with you. And it will be destructive to steal, kill, and destroy. But when you open that up, it's coming at you from the outside. And I saw it. I thought, wow, this is not me. This is not Ed House. This is me. I yielded to my flesh, but it came at me from, I'm still a new creation. I'm still brand new. Praise God. I'll tell you what, I got stable in my faith. Praise God. I'm a work in progress. Hey, I know I got areas in my body I need to bring under control. But I know one thing, I'm a new creation right now. If the enemy can get in your head and make you question your identity on the inside, he can own you. There is nothing quite like, you know, for example, I like to say my car analogy. If my car is clean, I want to keep it clean. If my car is trashed, what's another McDonald's wrapper? If you see your inward man trashed, what's another McDonald's wrapper? If you see your inside clean, if you see the old have passed away, if you see on the inside a new creation altogether, a new spiritual condition, if you see the fresh and new has come on the inside, the attitude of your identity is going to be very different than the way you walk. Part of when he'll restore your soul at times, he'll restore your soul, your mind, to how you really are on the inside, what he's made you. You're a child of God. Think about it. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. You got to be a new creation for the Holy Spirit to live in your spirit and fellowship with you. You're new in him. So, identity theft. The first thing he wants to get is your birthday. He wants to tell you you really weren't born again. You really didn't change. You got a Christian religion, but nothing's different. No. You go back to the Word of God with your shouting clothes and read those scriptures in the face of how you feel, in the face of what you're thinking, in the face of circumstances, and declare, this is who I am right now. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're brand new in Him. Praise God. You know, that's really the simplicity of salvation. When you're born again, you're going to be with Christ. Sometimes people get the backwards view of salvation. People think, well, after you die, God's going to decide what he's going to do with you. No. The condition of your spirit determines what's going to be done with you. God isn't waiting until you die to decide to do what to do with you. It is up to you right now while you're alive to decide what you're going to do with God. The decision is yours. When you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, you're going to be in the presence of God. It's a gift. Not because you had a good day or a bad day, because you're a new creation. Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to be born again. That's what you got to be. When you receive Christ, you're born again. Whether you had a good day or you got a bad day, you're still a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's who you are. You got to protect your identity. That thief is going to steal your identity. He's going to say, oh, you're just a sinner. Well, sometimes people say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, you were an old sinner and you got saved by grace. You became a new creation on the inside. You have the body of a sinner. You have the body, all the same impulses of a sinner, but on the inside, you're born again. You're different from a sinner. You're born again. You've got the Holy Spirit living in you. That identity, I am a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. But don't confuse the pulls of the body with your identity of who you are. You're still a new creation. You're still a child of God. You're not a child of God because you espouse a theology about what Jesus did. You're a child of God because you were born into it. That's what Jesus said would happen. You were born, Nicodemus, you got to get born into this. And then we see all those scriptures, you're born again. A God-conceived life. Praise God. This is where you begin to grow spiritually. You begin to get some foundation and strength in your life. So not only that, but you're only protecting your birthday, but you're also going to protect your address. All right? Let me just kind of say this too before I leave, because a lot of this stuff is in him. When you read your Bible, okay, when you read these New Testament epistles, you're going to find a pattern of things. When you read Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, you're going to see Paul kind of starts out with this in him, in Christ, who you are in Christ. And the first part of the book, the first few chapters, and then the last few chapters, he gets really practical. Love your wife, don't steal, be kind. But you notice he'll start out by encouraging people who they are in God. And then from knowing who you are, the practical side of Christianity comes. That's where it flows out of. But there's an identity in him that we find that's throughout the scripture. So when you're reading, you can kind of see that pattern in the epistles. So the next area that we want to look at, though, is protecting your address, your spiritual address, if you will. The scripture tells us a little bit about our address, where we are located. We've got our natural address, we've got a spiritual address. When you got born again, something happened. Not only did you become new on the inside, but you got a new address. It says, giving thanks to the Father who's qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. NIV says, he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Good news, he's rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us safe into the kingdom of his dear Son. So here's another thing that happened when I received Christ. I went from the kingdom of darkness and I went into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Praise God. I changed my location spiritually. Before I'd received Christ, I was under the dominion of the enemy. He owned me. He had rights to me. When I received Christ, he lost his right to me. Now I've been bought with a price. I belong to God through and through. We see another change of address. In Ephesians it says, but God, who's rich in his mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he's made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And again, this would be another one of those kind of those shouting close verses that, you know, I'd kind of read just in my Bible and go, wow, that's really kind of cool. All right, he raised me up together. He made me sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Think, but I'm here. How can I be here and in heavenly places at the same time? How can I be in two places at once? He's not talking about my natural physical address. He's talking about a spiritual address here. And this is a reminder in terms of your identity to realize you were raised up together with Christ. It goes on to say, far above all powers, principalities, every name that is named. In other words, you have authority in the earth because of where you're located spiritually. You are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean as far as the enemy coming along? Have you ever had that? Again, you might have a weight and sin that so easily besets you, and you just get it in your head, and he'll just lie in your mind saying, I own you. All right? You're making some good progress in some areas, but I own you in this area. You'll never be free from this thing. You'll never be, this will always plague you for the rest of your walk down here. It's as though there is an Achilles heel that you have. That he's going to, now what are we talking about? We're talking about identity theft. We're talking about how the enemy lies to you and tries to tell you, you know, there's the kingdom of God's dear, the kingdom of darkness. When you got born again, you're in the kingdom of God's dear son. And what does he do? He tries to say, you know what? You're really here. I don't care what all that church talk, what they said about, you know, I know, you're really still here. This is where you are. This is where you're located. The enemy is really good at something. The Bible, Jesus said he's the father of lies. That means he's a really good liar. He's subtle. He's crafty. The only defense, you cannot play mind games with the devil. He's been playing mind games with human beings for millennia. You'll lose every time. The only way you get out of the devil's snares and his traps of identity is you got to go to the Word of God. The Word of God is what exposes lies. It's the truth. And the Word of God says, you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? There is nothing that's holding me down here that I don't have authority over. There is nothing that I have to yield to. The other scripture in John says, he that is in the world. All right? You'll never hear the Spirit of God say yes. I'll never hear the Spirit of God say yes, Ed. It's really good that you're living for me, but that area of your life, you really have to stay defeated for the rest of your life. You can do most things through Christ who strengthens you, but that, the enemy is a little stronger in that area than me and the Spirit of God and the new creation all put together. We have to yield to that one. You don't see the Bible written that way. You begin to realize, as you're an overcomer, you begin to realize, hey, you know what? I'm not just born again on the new, I'm not just born again on the inside, but I'm in the kingdom of God's dear son. I'm in his protective care. I'm in this kingdom. I'm in his kingdom. I like to say this, I'm on his turf. You know, sometimes in cities they'll have turf battles, you know, where they'll kind of do different things and, you know, you don't cross that street or you're in our turf and different things like that. Well, when you're in the kingdom of God's dear son, you are on his turf. You're in his protection and his umbrella. And there is no trespassing, and you don't have to tolerate trespassing. I belong to God. Praise God. You can resist the devil. Now, God will have you go into all the world. He'll have you go into the enemy's turf, preach the gospel, and help bring people over. But if the enemy wants to come and try to trespass on this turf, no, you have got authority in the name of Jesus to resist him. You never have to think. I don't care what that thing is. Sometimes if you just voice it out loud, like I just did, whatever that weight and sin that is so easily beset you, think, God, is this too strong for you? Is this too strong for the Holy Spirit? No. What happens? There's a subtle identity erosion. Like I said, when I was walking down the hallway and I got that picture of the new creation, all of a sudden I saw, wow, that's the real me. When I saw the real me, it's like I got a glimpse of the new birth, my spirit. I thought, wow, praise God. I was excited. And I remember the first thing I did is I went to my little notebook and I wrote some circles. And I wrote kind of an outer circle, an inner circle, and then a very inner circle. The outer circle, I said, that's my body. The next inner circle, I said, that's my soul, my emotions, and my feelings. And then in the third circle, the little tiny one on the inside, I put a smiley face and said, that's the real me. That's my spirit. I'm born again. I'm a new creation in Christ. You go back to that. You go back to that. You know, when you're grounded in that, it's very hard for the devil to spook you. It's very hard for people to intimidate you. And it's very hard for people to try to bring you under when you know who you are in Christ. Like I said, this is new territory for me. I didn't really raised in this kind of stuff. But as I began to read the Word, you begin to realize that, wow, this stuff in the Bible was not put there just for cards and flowers, and it's really true. I've been raised together. I've been made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's where I am. That's my location spiritually right now. I'm there. I have a place of authority in Christ. I'm there. When you take your place, praise God, then you'll resist the enemy. He'll flee from you. Here's another. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he's able to even subdue all things to himself. You'll notice he's not going to transform your spirit. That's already been done. You're already born again. But there is a transformation that's going to take place. Your body. Your spirit's already redeemed. Your body has not been redeemed. That's why it gives you trouble. But your body is going to be redeemed. It's going to be conformed to his glorious body. Once your body is conformed to his glorious body, then your spirit and your body are going to be in complete harmony with one another. Won't that be a great day? Your body won't be fighting you. See, that's what Paul said. I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I find another law in my members. The inward man wants to do what's right, but out here is where my problem is. Well, one day out here is going to be conformed to his glorious body. Isn't that amazing? We're going to have glorified bodies just like Jesus that'll be in perfect sync with our spirit. No more fighting. Right now we got the fight. But hey, you know what goes along with the fight? We got authority in the earth. Gives us a right to be here. So yeah, we got to put up with this thing. But praise God, we get to be here and we get to impact and change the kingdom of God while we're in the earth. That's the trade-off. But our citizenship is in heaven. That's really where we are. Jesus put it this way. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. That's interesting. It must be really true then. There's got to be a lot of mansions, because if it wasn't so, he would have told us. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So that's our address. You know, not only do we have a place of authority in the Spirit right now, but we've got a citizenship in heaven. You know, that's our destiny, that's our eternal. You know, you can lose sight of right now your spiritual authority in Christ in heavenly places. You can lose sight of the fact that you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you can also lose sight of your destination. Do you know you're gonna be with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? This thing is a vapor down here. I mean, the bottom line of everything, I love what just the way Jesus said it. To me, this is the bottom line of everything. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. At the end of the day, your whole Christian faith is about one thing, being together with Jesus forever and ever. Our mission down here, if you will accept it, your short-term mission trip, is to do everything we can to bring as many people as we can with us. I mean, really, it is the Great Commission. Even as I grow up spiritually, I'm growing and developing spiritually for the purpose of reaching out and bringing people along. So, I mean, ultimately, your identity, you've got an address. You need to realize that I'm not only the identity of who I am on the inside, my new creation, but also where I am. I'm in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I'm in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and my future address is going to be heaven itself in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then finally, it's protecting your Social Security number. You know, you have a spiritual Social Security number. You got one. Scripture says this, we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I love that. King James says, we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works he's ordained us to walk in. There is something unique and special in your spiritual DNA. There are things, works, a plan for your life. It's not just a good sounding, oh, God has a plan for your life. No, he's got good works he's ordained you to walk in. Praise God that he prepared ahead of time. I mean, it's not just an emotional feel-good thing. It's really true. You are his workmanship. Think of that. You're God's craftsmanship. The creative power you see unleashed in creation, that creativity was released when he made you a new creation in Christ, and it was also released in the plan that he had for your life. You're his own handwork, recreated for good works. I'm not saved by good works, but I was saved for good works. He put his work. You have a makeup in you, a spiritual DNA makeup that is unique to you. There are things that you love. The Bible says he's in you to will and to do. And you can have amazing times of fellowship with God, and there's things that you like to do, and there's passions that he's put in you, some talents, some giftings and abilities, and you feel like, you know what? I feel like I've just got this own special thing with just me and God, and like nobody else has this certain thing going with him. It can be so intimate, it can be so detailed, it can be so precious and special as you begin to walk out the things he's put on the inside of you. And you know why you feel that way? Because it's true. You do have a unique thing going with him that nobody else has. You have a unique fellowship with him. Yeah, we all fellowship with God. But you know what? You got your own inside humor with God. I got my own inside humor. You got your own unique relationship. You've got a relationship. You've got a social security number. There's a DNA put on the things that he's put on the inside of you, the works he's called you to do, and the fellowship that you have with him. 2 Corinthians says, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed and arranged. This is the sovereignty of God. This is not your doing. This is his sovereignty. God has placed and arranged the limbs and organs in the body, each particular one of them, just as he wished and saw fit with the best adaptation. He placed you in the body according as it pleased him, the New King James says. And he's at work in you to will and to do. And in that what we call our personal relationship with God, you begin to perceive how he's working in you to will and to do. And you get to know him, and he's guiding you into different things. And there is something special and unique about that. Again, there's a devil out there that wants to steal your identity and say you're nothing, you're worthless. Look what somebody else is doing. What are you doing for God? Look what they're doing for God. You're doing nothing. You're invaluable. You're unimportant. You know, depression is probably the main, you know, mantra of the world we live in. And yes, we as believers, we got to deal with it just like anybody else would have to deal with it. But I'm telling you what, depression is not of God. God, you are precious. You are special. You are important. You're valuable to God. And praise God, there's healing. God can heal the brokenhearted and restore. But you know, one of the things that depression is at the base of it, it's when you just can't hope anymore. It's kind of checkmate. I don't want to hope. In fact, I'm angry at hope. Don't even tell me about hope. I've tried to hope. I had my hopes dash. But I'm telling you what. And this doesn't come from hoping. This doesn't come from just, this comes from the Word of God. When you begin to look back at the Word of God and say, you know what? There's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things I can't explain. I don't know why this happened, why that happened. But I know one thing's for sure and one thing that doesn't change. I am his workmanship. I've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. Father, you've got me down here for a reason. There are things you've ordained me to walk in. Your life has significance, not just because God loves you so much, but because God has put in you things to do that are impactful in this world, that are full of purpose. Praise God. There's a devil that wants to steal your identity. When you steal your identity as it relates to your social security number, he's stealing your sense of purpose, your sense of destiny. He wants to steal that from you. God wants to breathe it in you. Say, not only do I love you, child, but there are good things I've ordained. And that's like that language, prearranged, made ready for us to live. He saw our life, and that's when we begin to come online with him. Okay, God, I see myself as a new creation. Praise God. And just a couple scriptures as it relates to Social Security, and we kind of think of our kind of being set in terms of our financial, fiscal side, but God has kind of his own Social Security plan here too. 1 Peter 1, I love it, puts it this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, born again, to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Praise God. There's your eternal Social Security plan right there. You've got an inheritance waiting on you. Romans says, I consider the sufferings of this present time aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. But what of that? For I consider the sufferings of this present time amplified, this present life aren't worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed in us, to us and in us, for us and conferred upon us. Finally, the message says, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. So as we're talking about your identity spiritually, you know, and your social security, protecting your social security number, you got to protect your own sense of God-given uniqueness. You know, the flesh is what makes you just like everybody else. The Bible says the flesh profits nothing. That laundry list of the flesh, that stuff that we yield to, it's what makes us exactly like everybody else in the flesh. But the good works he's ordained you to walk in, those are what makes you unique and special. That gives you a unique identity. That's where Jesus said, if you'll lose yourself, for my sake, you'll find yourself. What was he talking? He's talking about losing it, the works of the flesh. You'll find the good works he's ordained you to walk in. So there's a losing, there's a finding. But we find in the big picture that we've got an identity, a God-given identity. And I know a lot of this stuff is kind of the in him. It's not practical. It's not like stuff to do. This is stuff to remember. And again, when you look at these epistles, and the way when you just sit down to read your Bible, you're just going to find that the Bible just reads this way. It reads, you know, the Apostle Paul starts out in Ephesians. I'm just, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, grace to you, peace from God our Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose him before the foundation of the world. And he goes on to say, you know, the amazing things in the fullness of time, and, you know, and just that you'll get a revelation of his love and all that. Those first three chapters are like, wow, you're in the clouds of concepts of the glory of God. And then, in chapter 4, I'll say, okay, now, you know, with lowliness of mind, bear with one another, keep the unity of the Spirit, bond of peace, you know, him that stole, steal no more, walk in love. And it gets very practical in the last few chapters. If Philippians reads the same way, he's going to talk about, you know, just the, his love for them, but then he'll kind of get into the practical side too, you know, chapter 3, you know, just the righteousness of the law and how his righteousness was found in Christ. And then in verse 4, he'll kind of get very specific. Okay, pray, do this, do that. Colossians reads the same way. You got to understand there's a pattern in the Bible. And this, it's like a key to help you understand. Those first few chapters are going to kind of get you with identification, what God did for you, what God did in you. And then the second half of the book gets really practical. This is how to walk it out. In your Christian life, if you find yourself bogged down on the practical side and, oh, I'm just like, oh, go back to those first three chapters. Go back to the early chapters and get refreshed in who you are and what God has done in you. The scripture was written so that who you are in Christ is the first part, and then the practical side is the second part. All right? Sometimes people preach the practical side without really knowing who you are in Christ. I don't think I can do that. Well, you find out I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. Yes, I can do it. I've been blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is your in Christ, in whom, in him stuff. But it's important to realize that there's a thief that's out there to steal something. And it's not just your car or your relationship or your money. He wants to steal this stuff from you so that you don't really realize who you are in Christ. But that's where we are going to take time. We take time on purpose to protect our identity of who we are in him. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we'll go ahead and is there anything that I need to be aware of? We're good. Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We just thank you so much for this morning. We just thank you for this time. And I just pray, too, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will just minister to everybody's heart here. Oh, Lord, you've done so much for us and in us. You've made us new creations. You've given us a place of authority. You've given us a plan, purpose for our life. I pray that each one here, Lord, would be encouraged, just refreshed in who they are in you. That everyone here is a new creation. Everyone here has authority. Everyone here has a plan and a purpose. Father, I pray that each one would see that, discover it. Where the enemy has stolen it, that it would be restored. Oh, Father, I thank you. Thank you for the work that you've done in us. Behold, the new and fresh has come. We thank you for it, Father. Pray. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree with this. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you've done. I'm a new creation right now. You have a plan for my life. I am your very workmanship. I belong to you. I no longer belong to the kingdom of darkness. I belong to the kingdom of your dear Son. I'm in your kingdom now. I'm born again now. I have authority now. That's who I am. That's where I live. It's what I do. I know who I am. And I will live all out for you, my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.